There was once this guy who collected and traded in pearls. He had a fine collection of his own, but one day while he was out of town on business, he spotted this beautiful pearl in the store window. And it was such a great pearl that he had never seen before. It was perfect in shape and size and color, and he thought to himself, I have to have that pearl. And so he goes in to the store owner and asks to see this beautiful pearl. Well, the owner of the store is excited to show it off, and so he carefully spreads out a piece of velvet on the counter, and he lays this exquisite pearl on the counter. And the man was overwhelmed and at the sight of this pearl, and he instantly began to look it over and carefully examine it. And finally, he said to the owner, "This has got to be the most exquisite pearl that I've ever seen." To which the owner said, "My friend, is the most exquisite pearl in the whole world. There's not another one that can compare with it." The man said, "I must have this pearl. How much is it?" And the gentleman behind the counter replied, "Friend, I'm afraid that you can't afford this pearl. But I must have it. I'll pay anything for it," the man said. "Anything?" the owner said. "Yes, anything." "Well, very well. If you want this pearl, you can buy it, but it will cost you everything that you have." "Everything that I have?" the man said. "Yes, everything that you have." Friends, last week, we saw another set of Jesus' parables. We saw the parables of the weeds and the wheat and the mustard seed and the yeast. And we said what looks like to be small and insignificant to the world, God grows into that which changes the world. Well, today, Jesus is going to share yet another set of parables to teach us that the kingdom of heaven is of great value and it's worth whatever it may cost us to obtain it. And the cost for us to obtain the kingdom of heaven is everything that we have. Jesus will throw the imagery of treasure and pearls and a dragnet down alongside these truths about the value and the cost of the kingdom of heaven. So if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me over to the book of Matthew chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, we have a few on the back table. Please take one if you need to use it today, or take one home as a gift from us if you don't own one. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. And while you're turning there, if you're looking for that, you need some help, it's on the right side of your Bibles. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Is what comes right after it. Matthew chapter 13, and we'll start there in verse 44. So read along with me. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and bought it." Friends, Jesus is not above using sketchy people to illustrate truths about the kingdom of God. And so he does here. He uses this man who finds this treasure in someone else's field. And instead of making the owner aware of this great treasure that he found, he hides it again and goes and sells all that he has to go and buy this field and its hidden treasure. Now, Jesus isn't trying to condone sketchy business practices here, okay? That's not the point of Jesus's parable. Instead, his point, rather, is that the kingdom of heaven is like a great treasure. Its worth is whatever it may cost us to obtain it. Much like the other parable that he shared, the merchant that was looking for fine pearls, that when he found one, he went and sold all of his possessions so that he could buy it. The kingdom of heaven is of countless worth. It is worth whatever it may cost us to obtain it. It's worth giving up everything that we are and everything that we have to obtain the kingdom of heaven. For when we lose our life to follow Jesus for Jesus' sake, it's then that we find it. We must count the cost in order to follow Jesus. And it will cost us everything, but it's worth it. It will cost us everything, but it's worth it. Jesus then gives us another parable, a parable of the dragnet alongside these truths about the separating that will happen of the wicked from the righteous that will happen at the end of the age. Much like the parable that we saw last week about the weeds and the wheat. Look at Jesus' words there in verse 47 of Matthew 13. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. And then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw the bad fish away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and they will separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. And he said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasures, as well as old. Friends, like the parable of the wheat and the weeds that we saw last week, like a dragnet collects all kinds of fish, both the righteous and the unrighteous, the righteous and the wicked, all will be gathered and all will be separated. But as we saw last week, that separation of the wicked from the righteous won't happen until the day of judgment, until the end of the age. It is not our job to try to separate here and now. We really took some time and examined that last week. And we also said last week that we are not the judge. You and I are not the judge, but God alone is the just judge. And he will separate the righteous from the unrighteous at the end of the age. But Jesus also, in these two parables, the one we looked at last week and this one here, gives us some truths about the nature of hell in both of these parables. Like the bad fish and like the weeds, at the end of the age, God will separate those who have counted the cost and followed Jesus from those who did not. And those who did not count the cost and follow Jesus here in this life will be cast away from God for all eternity into the blazing furnace, into hell. It's a real place that real people will go to. A place of eternal pain and of eternal punishment. Jesus describes it in both of these parables that it will be a place that will be of weeping and of gnashing of teeth. And those who choose in this life to live separate from God will live separate from God for all eternity. That is what Jesus is describing here. So over the last 3 weeks, we have seen a number of Jesus's parables. Jesus has taken a number of truths that people knew, like farming and fishing and things like that, and he has thrown them alongside, that's what that word parable means, thrown them alongside some truths about himself and about the kingdom of heaven. And so over the last couple of weeks, we have learned that the kingdom of heaven growth is based both on the receptiveness of the person and the sovereignty of God. It has both. Right? The person must be like the good soil and be receptive, but God is the one who causes the growth. They go hand in hand. In the kingdom of heaven, the separation of the wicked from the righteous will not happen until the day of judgment, until the end of the age, and God alone is the judge. You and I are not. We've seen over the last 3 weeks that the things that look small and insignificant to the world are the same exact things that God uses to grow influence tremendously. And finally, as we see today, the kingdom of heaven is of great value. But it's free, but it will cost you everything. You see, this is the paradox of the gospel. This is the paradox of salvation. Salvation is free, and yet it will cost you everything. Over and over again, we see in Jesus' teaching and through the rest of the New Testament that salvation is free to us because Jesus has paid the price. It is by God's grace that we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Even though we deserve to be paid out death, we are given freely the gift of life eternal because of Jesus. Salvation is free, and yet it will cost you everything. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 16, in verse 24. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for me will find it. Friends, if we want to be a disciple of Jesus, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after him. We must die to ourselves so that we can live. The kingdom of heaven is of countless worth. It is free to us because Jesus has paid it all, and yet it will cost you everything. But it's worth everything. It's worth everything. In the Gospels, we see over and over again people that want to come and follow Jesus. They want to be his disciples, but then they are presented with the cost and they are unwilling to lay it all down to follow after him. In fact, there was a young rich man who had done so much right. He had followed all of the commands of the law, and he comes to Jesus and he says, "What do I have to do to get the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus says, "Well, what does the law and the command say?" And he starts going through the list, and Jesus says, "Well, do all of these things." And he says, "I've done them since I was a young guy." And then Jesus cuts to the heart of this man and says, "The one thing that you lack, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor." And this young man who had done so much good went away sad because he had put his trust in his own wealth. And he was unwilling to put his trust in Jesus. Another teacher of the law was ready to follow Jesus wherever he went, but then he learned that that would mean that he would have to leave his home. Another guy wanted to go and follow Jesus, but he says, "Jesus, I want to wait until after my parents have died, because then it'll be a better time for me to follow you." Sadly, many, when they began to count the cost of following Jesus and count the cost of the kingdom of heaven, were unwilling to pay the price. You see, Jesus calls us all to remove everything that stands in our way from following after him. If anyone is to be my disciple, Jesus said, and they are to deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow after him. So friends, I wonder this morning, what's standing in your way of following after Jesus? I was reminded this week, because it was so cold out, just kidding. I was reminded this week of the Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Maybe you're familiar with it. Maybe you watch it at Christmas time, right? It's a story of Ebenezer Scrooge, right? He's the main character, and he is seemingly incapable of joy. He is rich, and yet he lives alone in unpleasantness, and he takes pleasure in nothing, and he seems to be indifferent towards human suffering. And then on Christmas Eve, he is visited by a series of ghosts who take him on a journey of insight to his own character, and they show him his sins. There's the ghost of Christmas past, and Christmas present, and Christmas future. And the ghost of Christmas future takes him to this graveyard where Scrooge is shown this headstone and commanded to wipe the snow away from it and to read the name that is on it. And as he does, he realizes this headstone has his own name. Weeping and shaking, Scrooge pleads with the spirit, "Are these shadows or things that will be? Or are they shadows of things that may be only? Why," Scrooge said, "would you show me all of this if I were past all hope? Tell me that I may sponge out the writing on this stone." And I think this picture of Ebenezer Scrooge being showed his past sins and his present and even his future is a perfect illustration for us as we think about the things that stand in our way from following Jesus. Friends, maybe this morning what's standing in your way from following Jesus is your past. Maybe it's your past sins. Maybe this morning you think that there is no way that God could ever love me or ever forgive me. Friends, I want you to know that while you and I were still sinners and enemies of God, he loved you so much that he gave Jesus for you. Maybe your past sins is keeping you from following Jesus. Maybe you feel shame about your past. I love this definition about the difference between shame and guilt from Carl Kuhl. He writes and says that shame results in remorse. Guilt, on the other hand, results in repentance. Remorse leads us to more shame, he says, and repentance, though, leads us to freedom. One is a cycle of self-loathing, while the other is a path to healing. Shame is about who I am, while guilt is about what I did. Guilt says, I didn't treat that person with respect, while shame says, I'm a horrible person. Guilt says, I have sinned against God, while shame says, I'll never be who God wants me to be. Shame keeps you stuck, while guilt moves you forward. Shame is about me, while guilt is about others. Shame causes pain, and guilt holds accountable. Friends, forgiveness always has a cost. Sometimes people ask, why in the world did Jesus have to die on the cross? And that's why. Because forgiveness always has a cost. Because someone has to pay for our sins. Either we can or he can, and he chose to. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down. Friends, Scripture says that Satan schemes, and one of the schemes that Satan has planted in this world, the lie, is that we need to forgive ourselves. No, you don't. You can't. You just need to come to grips with the fact that Jesus has forgiven it. He set you free. He's made you new. He has forgiven even those things that you are trying to carry the shame for. Jesus can forgive your past. Friends, maybe it's your past sin that is keeping you from following Jesus. And maybe you're stuck in the shame and this cycle of self-loathing. But maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's not your past sins, but maybe it's your past accomplishments that are keeping you from following Jesus. And those past accomplishments are leading you to pride and arrogance. I want you to listen to what Paul tells us about his past accomplishments in Philippians 3:7. He says, but whatever were gains, whatever accomplishments he had, whatever were gains to me, I now consider what? Loss. for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is from through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow obtaining the resurrection of the dead. Friends, we can't let our past sins nor our past accomplishments stand in our way from following Jesus. We must consider them loss, garbage. We must sell the farm to follow Jesus. It's free, but it will cost you everything. There's a reason that the rearview mirror is so small. It's so that what's behind us only takes a small amount of our attention. Friends, if we want to be Jesus' disciples, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after him. Friends, maybe it's your past sins or your past accomplishments that are keeping you from following Jesus. But maybe, like Scrooge, it's not just your past, but maybe it's your present. Maybe it's your present self. You know, we as mankind have struggled from day one with having God be the Lord of our life. What did the devil say to Eve and Adam? God doesn't want what's best for you. He knows that in the day that you eat of this fruit, you will become like him. This is the temptation that we all struggle and face with, that we want to be God ourselves. We want to be the kings and the queens of our own lives. We think that God doesn't want what's best for us, or we think that we know better than God does. And so what often stands in our way of following Jesus is our unwillingness to step down from the thrones of our own hearts and allow Jesus to take his rightful place. Look again at Paul's words there in Philippians 3. He counts them all as loss, right? That he may gain Christ, be found in him, not having a righteousness of his own, but that which that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And then in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering and becoming like him in his death. And so somehow obtaining the resurrection from the dead. Friends, maybe it's your present self that's standing in your way from following Jesus. You know, I opened telling about the man who found the pearl. Let's see what happened to him. Remember, he saw this pearl and he wanted to buy it. He said he had to buy it, and the owner said, you can't afford it. It will cost you everything. And everything, the man said, yes, everything. So there they are in the store, and the man's pacing the floor back and forth. And at last, he said, I must have this pearl. I will pay the price. And so he pulls out his wallet, and he begins counting all of his money. And he lays everything that is in his wallet down but $5. And he tells the owner, I need to keep these $5 so I can put gas in my car. To which the owner says, oh, you have a car? It'll cost you your car, too. But he says, how will I get back and forth to work? Well, the owner says, oh, you have a job? It will cost you your job as well. But if I don't have my job, then how am I going to pay for my house? Oh, you have a house? I'm afraid that this pearl will cost you your house too. But sir, what will become of my family, my wife and my children? Oh, you have a family? The price of this pearl will cost you your family too. And then the man said, but that is everything that I have. And the owner said, I told you it will cost you everything that you have to obtain this pearl. I didn't know that you meant everything, the man says. Yes, everything. So finally, the man says, I have to have it. I'll pay for this pearl. And he gave the shop owner everything that he had, and the shop owner hands this pearl of great value back over to him. And then he hands the man his money back and the keys to his car and the deed to his house. And he tells him to keep his job and his wife and his children. And he says to him, now remember that all of these things belong to me. I want you to take care of them and to use them for me. But don't ever forget that they belong to me. Remember, you gave them for this pearl. And so now they are all mine. Friends, maybe this morning your past sins or your past accomplishments are keeping you from following Jesus. But maybe it's your present self wanting to be the Lord, the God of your own life. Friends, the kingdom of heaven is of great value. It's free because Jesus has paid it all, but it will cost you everything. But friends, it's worth everything. So friends, won't you come today and stop letting your past and your present stand in your way and keep you from following Jesus. Come and count the cost. Come and make Jesus the Savior of your life. Come and step down from the throne of your own lives. Come and die to yourself so that you can truly live. Come and give Jesus the rightful place as King of your lives. Come this morning and die to yourself and your sins and meet him in baptism today. Friends, one day Jesus is coming again, as the old hymn said, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, but he's coming again. Jesus is coming again, and on that day he will separate those who have followed him from those who haven't. And so friends, let me ask you this morning, where will you be? It's free, but it will cost you everything. But it's worth it. What will you choose today? Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for not only the teaching of your son Jesus and teaching in a way, using things that we can visualize and see, like this pearl and this man who had to buy it and this field and the great treasure and Father, the dragnet. Father, allow these spiritual truths to sink down into our hearts and take root and to grow. Father, if there is anything that is standing in our way this morning from following your son, would you help us to identify it and remove it so that we can come and follow you? So that we can obtain that which is of great value, your kingdom and life eternal. Father, we know that it's free, and we know that it will cost us everything. So, Father, help us to count the cost this morning and come and follow after your son. We thank you for the sacrifice that he has made for us, to give us forgiveness and redemption, to bring us back to you. We thank you that while we were still your enemies, you demonstrated your own love for us in sending your son Jesus to die. For you so loved the world that you gave your only son for me. Thank you. Would you help us to be a people that goes and tells our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers these truths. Because, Father, one day you will return. And in that day, your angels will come and separate those who have counted the cost and followed your son from those who won't. So, Father, help us to point as many as we can to you so that they too can receive this gift that they have not earned. Redemption through your Son, Jesus. We ask all of this in his name.